Good morning, everybody. Thanks for being here for our session. This is the first time that we've done this. It's an experiment. And it is, in fact, doing our podcast, which Adam and I present every couple of weeks, but doing it live with you guys in the audience and help. We do need questions at the end of it to make it all work. So this is it, a live podcast. It's the Travel Vertical podcast. And two of us have been doing it now for about a year, a little bit more than a year. And so we're not nervous at all about this. We always do this 11 o'clock, you know, on a particular weekday morning. So we just chat and we have great guests every week. And we talk about the curated stories that are in the Travel Vertical, which is your free resource for what's going on in the digital space, but also for the latest job listings and people news, who's gone where and changed jobs and retired and joined the industry. So we welcome all your news for that. Just send it. It's free. And every week people ask me, how do we do this? Well, you just send it and we'll put it there. What we won't do is put a link, because if I did a live link, then we'd go to the very bottom of the Google pile in terms of dead links. We'd be number one. So we can't do that, but we can do everything else. And then let us know when your jobs are filled and we'll introduce those folks to the community because we'd love to welcome them. So, Adam, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yeah, Lori, it's good to do another week of the Travel Vertical podcast. Lori does an incredible job of pulling together the news of what's happening in the industry on a weekly basis. And we decided, like you mentioned, a little over a year ago, to take this newsletter and put it in an audio format. One of the things that we've learned is that jobs and people on the move are like incredibly popular on the Travel Vertical podcast. So we try to touch on that whenever we record. We won't be highlighting jobs and people on the move today in this episode. So if you want to know about the available jobs and people on the move, go to thetravelvertical.com and you'll be able to see all of that. But Lauren, excited to be here with you again. And we've got an incredible guest for the show today.
Yes, I hope that everybody has already had a chance to meet Sophia Heiderhock. She's the Chief Diversity Officer at Destinations International. And she's here with us today for a conversation about how she can help DMOs with this sticky wicket. Sophia, over to you. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here. I do listen to your podcast. So.
Oh, thank you.
So we have one.
we have one listener. Well, you did point out yesterday that the first 2 weeks are the hardest, but don't worry about it because no one's listening anyway. But listening, readers, I mean, we love all that. Engagement, great, great, great. So we try to have CMOs and we try to have CEOs on the podcast, ones who have particularly caught our attention of late, and there's been a stream of them. So you can, if you have nothing to do, you know, when you're running, you can go back and listen to the old episodes. They're mostly evergreen stuff. But today it's all about DEI. So Sophia, tell us, if you would, in a couple of sentences, what do you do?
So I've been on the job for about 4 months now at Destinations International, and my job is to be able to create frameworks for our members, for our industry, on how to understand what diversity, equity, and inclusion is, and then how to apply those principles into your destinations.
What's your background? What led you to this role?
I have a background, an eclectic background at that. I've been doing social inclusion work for over 20 years now. And the first part of my life, I was doing international development work. So working around the world on economic development issues, gender empowerment, sustainability, value chain work. And the past 8 years, I had my own business. I was designing and facilitating diversity, equity, and inclusion strategies, trainings, and workshops specifically for the travel industry.
Nice.
So, since you've had a varied background, where are we as an industry? I mean, are we out of 1 out of 10? Are we 10? Or do we have it all together? Are we a 5? Are we just, you know, kind of getting our feet wet? Or where do you think we are, that is, destination marketing as an industry compared to some of the others you've worked with? Just curious about that.
I think we're at the getting our feet wet stage, to be quite honest. You know, like I said, I've been doing this work in the travel space for over 8 years now, and it was sparked from a variety of things. I started my business 8 years ago out of an app that I was going to create. And it was at a startup weekend in North Carolina. And it was an app. I was going to a friend of mine's wedding in Argentina. And it was an app that was meant to provide cultural etiquette tips, shopping advice, and just a greater awareness of what to do before going somewhere. So I pitched this idea. We ended up getting crowd favorite. And then I had business and leisure travelers that were coming up to me and saying, you know, whenever I travel places, there's always something that's lost in communication. And wouldn't it be great to be able to find ways to really connect with someone across cultures, and not just internationally, but nationally too? And that was where this idea for my company sparked. And I thought, you know, I'm not an app creator. I'm super nerd. I'm a policy background. I love working with people. And I'm also a yoga and meditation instructor. I had to pepper that in. And what could I do to find how do I integrate my passion with something that's meaningful? I wanted to create systemic change. And I thought of this great idea of, you know, I travel a lot for work, but then there are ways and there are areas where I don't feel safe. There's disconnect. What can I do to change that? And that's why I chose the travel industry. And when I did that, I found that it was an uphill battle, quite honestly. I was talking a lot about the importance of including people from different backgrounds, and I always had to present the business case, and I still do now. And, you know, a lot of organizations just didn't get it. And the reason they didn't get it is because travel was doing so well. So why change? And, you know, the unfortunate circumstances of what took place in the United States with George Floyd in 2020 really shifted the awareness for diversity, equity, and inclusion. So I think where we are right now is we're getting our feet wet. There's an awareness that something needs to happen. And right now in this space, it's the time to make it happen.
So that's where we're at as an industry. At the destination level, how do you evaluate and identify where you're at?
A really good question, the how. So a few things, right? So in July of this year, Destination International will be releasing our EDI assessment tool. And this assessment tool has been in the works for over a year now to understand, to survey and understand from our destinations what you're looking for, what measurement looks like, and how to be able to understand what metrics can look like for the industry. So that's the starting ground that I can say from a metrics-based discussion that we can have. That assessment has 8 different components to it, from vendors to community to your organizational demographics. So you can really understand, you know, what other destinations are measuring themselves up against. This assessment, I want to emphasize, is not a competition. It's an assessment just for you to understand where you are.
So there's not going to be like a bar graph of every destination and where they're at in the process, a scorecard.
Now, we'll have a filter where you can kind of measure where you are against a budget category or geography, but you'll never know what a specific destination is doing. That's not the point of this. The point is really to understand where you are.
Makes sense.
So, but the thing is, how do we define DEI? That's a difficult question, but I'm sure it's the first one you usually get.
It is. The first question I usually get is, how do I get started? The other question I usually get is, what if my destination isn't diverse? Those are the two big ones. Now, to answer your question about how do we define DEI, I always say that's where we start. We have to start in our communities. We have to start in our organizations to define what diversity means, what equity means, what inclusion means. What does that mean for you? And then what does that mean for your organization? And you'll find that people have different definitions of what that means. But that's a great foundation to start, so you can understand what people's perspectives are, how they differ, how they're similar. And that's a perfect way to start the conversation. And I think the other aspect of diversity, equity, inclusion is it's a very human thing. So the add-on to this conversation that's really important is, and I like to approach it in this respect, is what does welcoming mean? What does belonging mean? Because at the heart of who we are, we all want to belong. And we all want to feel welcome. What does that look like?
So that leads me to another question then. It's an interesting role because you're blazing a trail here, right, for Destinations International. And let's move in a time machine 10 years down the road and you were super successful. What happened? What does success look like for you in this role?
So for me, success looks like having the conversation of how are we doing? What can we improve? Moving away from the business case and justifying why this work is important. Success looks like having metrics of saying, you know, we have created inclusive environments. We've thought about different perspectives, not just culture, not just, you know, ethnicity. We've gone beyond that to really weave in different identities, the intersection of identities into our work. And because of that, look at how welcoming our destination looks. Look at the impact that we've had from a visitor perspective. It's finally having measurable statistics to show the value of what welcoming and belonging truly looks like.
And that's where the assessment comes in, right? Where we'll be able to identify where we're at and measure progress along the way.
That's a part of it. Now, the other question I always get is, you know, and from a business case standpoint, well, what's my return on investment? And in 10 years, I want us to be able to show that here is the return on investment. The hard thing about diversity, equity, inclusion is that you won't receive immediate results. And sometimes that's the hardest thing for destinations to quantify. This work takes time. We have to build trust. We take it back to the humans, right? We don't tend to trust, and it takes time. So building ROI, building metrics of success takes time, and we have to be patient. So that's what 10 years looks like.
It's the long game.
It is.
So let's pretend that I'm at the DMO. In fact, for 10 years, I was at a DMO in New York as vice president of tourism development, long time ago, before the internet. But my question would be like, so what do I tell my boss I need to do first? Do I start talking to him about diversity on the board? Or do I start talking about the way my website looks? Or do I start looking at hires and what does my staff look like? Or do I worry about, you know, what the front desk looks like at the hotel, which is the first touch point, you know, for a visitor, and is there diversity represented there? What about blind? What about disabled? What about, you know, that sounds overwhelming. What should I do first?
I would recommend the first thing is, you know, having your CEO, having your leadership on board is critical to growth. Having a diverse board is critical. We all know that, but that's sometimes it's easier said than done. And the first place to start in that conversation is to talk about the business case. Look at where we are. What's missing here? What can we do to innovate? What can we do to create new opportunities for our destination? Maybe we need to have an open mind, and it starts with just that conversation of what does an open mind look like? What are we currently doing, and how can we grow and progress along with what the world is also doing? So it's perhaps not starting at we need to be diverse, equitable, inclusive. It's what does having an open mind look like? What do new opportunities look like for our destination?
So you've been in this role, if I remember right, 4 months? Okay, so still getting up to speed and everything in the role, but you're obviously getting a lot of questions. What are some of the most constant questions you're receiving from DMOs and other industry partners?
The biggest question is, what if my destination isn't diverse? I've been getting that one quite a bit. And to that, I respond by saying, you know, how do you know that? How do you know? And it still goes back to defining what diversity means, what equity means, and what inclusion means. Because in my lens, diversity is a lot of different things. It's age, it's ability, it's definitely culture, it's preference. There's so many ways to define what diversity is. So after you have that awareness and understanding what that is, look out in your community. Who's in your community? And seek out, I'd say from a data standpoint, look at the demographics, look at the census. I know the census in 2020 hasn't been as, you know, accurate, but look at these data points in your community of who's there. Reach out to community organizations, have discussions with these different identities that you've identified. That's really important as you get started on understanding and defining, you know, what diversity means for your community, and have conversation. But the first place you have to start is to define what diversity, equity, inclusion means for your destination.
Do you find that a lot of different answers arise to ask the right one for that? I mean, there is no right answer, is there?
There isn't. And so I try to encourage people to think outside of the box. You know, I think sometimes when we say DEI, nobody really knows what that means. It's kind of, you know, a given, like, you know what it means. But if we take a little time to slow down and to really understand what we're doing, the kind of impact we want to have, having that strong foundation is where impact can truly take place. So being very intentional and thoughtful about a strategy, even the intention of having a strategy, is really important.
What if someone needs help? Can they actually just send you an email or ring you up for a chat?
Absolutely. I've had a lot of our members, I'm starting this listening tour. I haven't started it. I've been having a listening tour, and I'll continue to have a listening tour where, you know, I've been getting a lot of our members just asking me questions and saying, hey, we need help with this. And I love that because, you know, we have a CEO EDI pledge that we currently have over 400 members that have signed. And I will get 100% commitment. That is something I am highly committed to doing to ensure that there is that awareness, but there's accountability. And so what I plan on doing with this pledge is to collect best practices. What are our destinations doing well? Because there are things that are happening. We just need to collect them and to share them. And I want to ask, what are our barriers? What are you looking for? What do you need help with? And that's critical to then being able to create resources and services for our destination members. The other piece that I wanted to address was the questions that our members have been asking. So I'm very accessible. I want you to reach out to me, and that helps me understand, you know, what your needs are. I was just in Des Moines, Iowa, a few weeks ago, facilitating a conversation about diversity, equity, inclusion. And that conversation came about from one of our events that I was in, and I was just talking to the sales representative from Des Moines. And from that conversation, I was able to go to Des Moines and have this a facilitated dialogue. That's what impact looks like, being able to have these conversations. And that's what I want to be able to do for our community.
So how will you publish your findings along the way? Like, you're going to be gathering information. You're going to identify best practices and everything. Are you going to have a newsletter? Will there be a portion of DI's website that's a resource center? Or will there be a podcast? Or what's the plan for continuous communication as you learn and develop along the way?
So yes to everything you've just said above. So what I plan on doing is, you know, I've had this listening tour, and the way my mind is like, I have all these fantastic ideas, but I want to make sure that I have purpose and focus. So I plan on, you know, after our EDI assessment tool gets launched in July, I plan on I'm working on a 2022-2023 strategy for our members to understand what we'll be doing. I plan on having kind of a few pronged approach, if you will. The first piece, quite honestly, is to ensure that our team has a really strong foundation for EDI work. We're going to be the trusted association, the trusted resource for EDI. We have to do as we say as we do. And so our team right now will be doing an internal EDI assessment just to get a sense of what we want to learn about as a team, critical to this work. The second piece is I'll be looking at and reviewing all the work that we do. So we'll be looking at our education offerings, our certifications. I'll be looking at our events and meetings, you know, thinking about representation from a speaker perspective, from abilities, all of the verticals, travel vertical, isn't that interesting? And I'll be looking at the sales approach. So I want to ensure that EDI is integrated into all the work that we do. And then the second piece of that is our membership, working with our members. So after our EDI assessment is rolled out, I'm also working on a roadmap to address the how do I get started question. We'll have a roadmap that's similar to the Community Shared Values workbook that we've produced. So our members have a workbook to work with. And the second part of that is to have tailored services that our members can draw upon us for, call us on. So trainings, again, facilitated dialogues, what have you. So we can have that tailored approach as well. And the other piece of that also is, you know, we can't do it all. And I don't want us to be able to do it all. This is a community. So I also want to find trusted services that I can, you know, say to our members, if they're looking for something particular, go to XYZ place. Here's a small business that you should also support. So I really want to create a network that is trusted, that is a community, so we can really move this dialogue to impact.
We didn't script our talk today, but so this is going to be a surprise question, as they all were. But it sounds to me like that's a great marketing plan that you've set out initially, and that as part of it, if the DMOs start to feel comfortable around the DEI space and pick up those best practices, that they're in a super position to act as train the trainer, you know, and roll that out with partners and members in the community. That would be a brilliant position for a DMO to be in. But here's the surprise question. What keeps you up at night?
You know, someone actually asked me that already, and I had to say that I sleep really well at night. So that's a good thing. But, you know, honestly, what keeps me up at night, well, actually, nothing keeps me up at night, like I said, but what really gets me motivated is, you know, I know that there's a lot of work to be done, but what I get excited about is all the work that I want to do, all the impact that I want to create. And what I want to make sure I do is prioritize what needs to be done. And so that doesn't keep me up at night, but that just keeps running in my mind. Like, what's priority? What can we ensure we adapt and to be able to implement in a way that helps, you know, kind of demystify this work and to create a more human approach? That's what I constantly think about.
Okay, so we have an unprecedented situation here on the Travel Vertical Podcast. We have a live studio audience for the first time ever, and I want to make sure that we give the opportunity for the audience to ask a couple of questions. So do we have any questions from the audience? Please ask your question audibly, and then I'll restate it because we're obviously releasing this as a podcast episode. Go ahead. So the question then is, what are a couple of DMOs that you feel like are really leading the way on DEI? And I'll let you go ahead and respond.
Absolutely. So definitely a few come to mind, so a few big ones and a few small ones too. So you have a variation. Visit Mesa is definitely a destination that I want to highlight. They are the first autism certified destination. Yes, it's definitely worth clapping for. And that's one that they're definitely leading the way. The second that comes to mind, you know, from a larger DMO is NYC and Company. They're doing a great job of really, you know, delving into the community to find stories from underrepresented populations. You know, New York is diverse, but to go deeper and to really find those stories are critical to inclusion. You can have diversity, but you may not have inclusion. And that's another great example. The third is a larger destination, Los Angeles. Los Angeles is doing an incredible job of identifying all the communities that exist in Los Angeles, but then trying to create a cohesive way to show all of these amazing identities at the forefront for visitors. And I have a little example from Los Angeles. I was just in Palm Springs for our CEO summit, and I was flying out of LAX. I grew up in California, and we're driving on the freeway, and I see a little sign that says little Bangladesh. I'm Bengali and Indian, and I've never seen that before. And it hits you right at the heart where you think, they've thought of me. And I had to tell Adam Burke, the CEO, I was like, you don't know how much that meant to me. And it's those little things that really matter. The fourth that comes to mind is Charlottesville, Virginia. They're doing a really wonderful job of talking with their community. They have Black Seaville as an initiative that's taking place. And from engaging stakeholders there, they've had this wonderful Black Seaville initiative that they have grown into a community that, you know, has really progressed over time. So I would use those four that come top of mind.
Great. Lori, I've got one more question back here before we transition to the next session.
So I love the reference to a shared meaning, right, of DEI. What do we really mean when we talk about that? You were talking about there, that's so great, right? And that's often a starting point, which is really key. Often we just talk past each other because we don't mean the same thing, right? The word is just a word. But I wonder if you could invite us, Adam asked us in brief, but I wonder if you could invite us to picture when we do this, when we allow our organizations to take a step toward what you're proposing and what you are leading us in, invite us to, like, what does that look like? What might it feel like? How might we re-describe or re-articulate what our destinations are when we've taken a step that you're going to lead us to take?
So when you have, that's a great question, when you start to have these conversations, I actually use Mentimeter to have a lot of live facilitated dialogue. I always ask a few questions to really empathize, to have us be able to empathize with each other. And I ask, what does welcoming look and feel like? What does belonging look and feel like? Has there ever been a time when you didn't feel like you belong? What does that feel like? And you'll notice, or I've noticed, that when I ask those questions, and before I put it up on the prompt for everyone to see what's in the room, I want to make sure that there's privacy so there isn't, you know, oh, that person felt that way. After a few minutes, I'll show those responses, and you'll see what people actually feel like. And that creates a level of empathy where we can then discuss, how can we make sure that we don't feel that way anymore and our visitors don't feel that anyway anymore, our community doesn't feel anyway. So it's humanizing DEI and talking from the heart, which I think we need more of.
Is that the Maya Angelou quote, you know, you forget what people said, but you'll always remember how they made you feel?
Right.
And there you go. So anyway, thank you so much, Sophia. We're delighted to have this conversation and to use you as our victim on the first ever live podcast. I don't know, ever done at the Travel Vertigo. Anyway, ever done at eTourism Summit in 23 years. So thank you, everybody.
It's been great. Yeah, thanks, everyone. Real quick, Sophia, if people want to learn more about you or want to connect with you or want to get access to some of the information you'll be sharing along the way, what's the best way to do so?
I have a really long email, so I won't say it out loud. So just look up my name, Sophia Heiderhock, and Destinations International, and my email is on the About Us page.
Awesome. Thanks again. This was really great. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you soon.